One of the most often repeated commands in all of God's Word is also one of the most life-transforming and life-enriching commands. It is a command that is summarized simply in a two-word phrase repeated over and over and over again in the Old Testament, and it is simply these two words: give thanks. Why is that so important? Because I believe the Bible teaches us that giving thanks is the doorway into every blessing of life. Now, let's be honest, when things are going well, it's easy to give thanks. Well, it might be a little hard, because sometimes when things are going well, we get so full of ourselves that we forget the source of the one who has blessed us. But it gets much more difficult when life turns challenging. And yet the Bible promises us over and over again that one of the most life-giving, life-transforming things you can do, regardless of the circumstances of your life, two simple words: give thanks. Now, our text for the morning, the video for the morning, is a foundation, one of the many examples in the Bible where the command to give thanks is spoken. And if you have your Bibles this morning, would you turn to Psalm 107 with me and look in verses 1 and 2. Because the foundation, the reason we have hope in giving thanks, is made really clear. The psalmist, we think in this case, King David, declares, "Give thanks to the Lord." Why? "For He is good, for His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Those He redeemed from the hands of the foe, those He gathered from the lands, from east and west, from north and south." Giving thanks to God is a foundational command, a foundational principle throughout the Word of God. St. Paul, our great New Testament theology professor, takes his learning from the Old Testament and applies it even more broadly when he says in 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 through 18, Paul says, "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Now, let's quickly get the grammar right. Paul is not saying rejoice and pray and give thanks for your circumstances. That is not what the Bible says. There's some things that you and I go through, and the last thing we want to do is give thanks. Paul says give thanks not for your circumstances, but in your circumstances. Why? Because built on the theology of the Old Testament, you and I are never alone. The steadfast love of God is with us. How long? When? Always. Hey, here's what I'm finding in my life. It's pretty easy to give thanks when things are going well, but it is vital to give thanks when we're in the midst of difficulties. For giving thanks to God is the open door for God to do what God is famous for doing: rebuilding a bridge, rebuilding a wall, restoring a relationship, beginning new hope for us. Paul not only says to rejoice and to pray and to give thanks in all circumstances, but he makes it really personal. Because Paul understood something that I think is really important for every believer to understand. Most often, we receive the blessing of God in our lives through other believers. Have you come to that place of revelation yet? That we sense, we feel the blessing of the Almighty through the hands and feet of those who know His love, who are being changed by His love. They are His point of miraculous delivery. Five times in the New Testament, St. Paul makes a similar comment But I really like the way he makes it personal in 1 Corinthians 1, 4 through 6. Paul says, I always thank my God for you. You see, Paul acknowledges that the blessings he is receiving in ministry, the capacity to preach the gospel, the source required to do it, comes from other believers. I always thank my God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way with all kinds of speech and knowledge. God thus confirming our testimony about Christ among you. You and I become a living letter of God's amazing grace for somebody else. I wonder, in the midst of the challenges of life, is your first thought to say, oh God, good Lord? Or is your first thought by faith to say, thank you, God, that I'm not alone. Thank you, God, that you're in charge even of this difficult circumstance. Thank you, God, that you have a plan for every believer. Thank you, God, that I am not alone. Thank you, God, that your steadfast love endures forever. This morning, we acknowledge that we're entering into a time of transition in the life of our church. And you know, I've discovered that nobody likes change except for a wet baby. We're all a little resistant to transition and to change. As exciting as graduating from college or high school is for these graduates, there's a little apprehension about the transition to the next chapter of life. We've all experienced that. I believe the best way to get ready for the transitions that are ahead of all of us individually and even as a church is to intentionally give thanks to God for the ways that he has blessed and provided and resourced and opened doors. Believing the God who has provided for us up to this point in our lives, this point in the life of our church, is the God who already has great plans for the future. We transition with confidence into the future by giving thanks to the God who has already proven himself faithful and good. I'm inviting some of my friends to join me as living examples today. John Nix chairs the Staff Parish Relations Committee at Conyers First. Staff Parish, in Methodist terms, is our personnel committee. He is joined by a couple of other really great guys from Staff Parish, David Farmer and Keith Keller. There are other Staff Parish members here this morning, Joanne Caldwell among them, who is here. Because we are moving into a time of transition, and we want to be intentional about giving thanks for those who have served here and begin praying today that God will continue to provide as we transition in the life of this great church. Mr. Nix, we hear you gladly.
Good morning. When SPR stands in front of you as the body of Christ, I want you to know that SPR is made up of 11 members of our church, but we're really made up of you. And one of our purposes, he says simplistically, the personnel department. That's just my dig at him this morning. But one of our missions is to hear you as a body and to represent you as we interact with the clergy and the staff and you in a kind of beautiful triangle that is this church. Today I want to, on behalf of SPR and behalf of you, to remind ourselves that we are very, very blessed to have an incredible staff in our church. Some of our staff members, you see them up here every Sunday, or you see them at the 11 o'clock or 8 o'clock services, and they're very, very visible. But most of our staff really works undercover to give this church its strength and its support that it needs every day to continue. And all of them together, the ones we see on Sunday and the ones that we don't see every Sunday, create a place here that is recognized in our community because of our mission and our outreach. It's recognized within the walls of this church as we grow in our walk. And we should be very, very thankful for our staff, just not on days like today. Today, however, we have to say goodbye to two staff people. When I first came on SPR, very shortly after I came on board, the pianist in the 8 and 11 o'clock service elected to go on to another church to be closer to family. And we had to begin searching for a musician to take that place. Well, fortunately, we had Reverend Brokaw and we had Dr. Byers, who are really focused on music and sound. And they presented to SPR this young man who was still in high school, who could only be described as a very tall drink of water. And they were pushing him to be the replacement for this pianist. And of course, we deferred to them, which is a great thing, because David Landrum has absolutely been fantastic as a musician for this church in all kinds of events. He's always been there. He's been very dedicated. And David graduated from high school under our watch. He got 2 years of college under his belt under our watch. And now David is, I have to read this part, I couldn't remember it before. He's going on to the Shenandoah Conservatory in Winchester, Virginia. And he's going to spread his wings. And I know that we, with our prayers, will follow him up to Virginia, and we're going to miss him a great deal. I want to let you know that a scholarship in honor of Dr. Byers has been established for 1 year for David. He doesn't know this. Y'all are finding out. For $3,000 to facilitate him going on to school in Virginia by a member of our church. The second person I want to recognize on your behalf today is Renee Farah. Renee has been here for 7 years. And you don't see Renee on Sundays unless you go to the 11 o'clock service and see her up in the chancel choir. But Renee is one of those people on staff that has been an absolute rock. She is the communication hub for so much that goes on in this church. But more importantly than being able to facilitate communication, Renee is gracious. She's godly, she's compassionate, and I don't think I've ever heard her say a crossword. So she has been a dream to be on our staff. And Renee, several months ago, came to me first, because that's what happens when you're the chair. You get the good and the bad news first. But she said that she was going to apply for the job with Sharma Lewis, who's our superintendent, who's a wonderful, wonderful woman of God. And much to our disappointment, Renee got that job. She was selected from the applicants. But we wholeheartedly support her as she moves on, and we're going to miss her. The last announcement I want to make today is about the United Methodist Church and the process that we go through. Late December every year, early January, the conference begins a process that lasts 4 months. It involves 40 days almost of adjustment. It's done in great confidence. We as a church participate in that process by submitting our requests. Our minister plays a role in that process, and obviously the conference and the bishop play a role. But ultimately, it's the conference and the bishop that make the decisions about appointments. Because John Wesley was an itinerant minister, and in the spirit of the United Methodist Church, our ministers are itinerant. I wanted to read a quote from John Wesley that I think is very appropriate today. Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as you can. He really didn't write that, I think, about ministers, but I think it is about ministers. I think it's especially about our minister. For 7 years, we have had the honor, and 8 o'clock I started crying right here. We've had the honor and the privilege, but more importantly, we have been touched by a minister of God. And for me personally, I came closer to God in the 7 year period. And I think that's why I cried at 8. Because a relationship that I didn't have with God was opened up during this man's ministry. Well, the bishop, in all his infinite wisdom, which I say seriously, has appointed Dr. Myers, and he is going to go to Hillside Methodist United Church in Woodstock in the Townlet community. And his last Sunday with us from the pulpit will be June the 15th. Now, we are faced with a challenge because we have to transition. We have to move from a minister that I believe many of you have been impacted by. Our church has been impacted by. We've grown tremendously. But as Methodists, we have to open our hearts and our prayers, not only for Dr. Byers as he leaves, but also to welcome our new minister. And his name is Dr. Dave Benson. And he's coming to us from the Birmingham United Methodist Church in Alpharetta. Now, we do have one thing going for us. For the last 2 years, we felt an SPR, because you never know when a minister is going to leave, right? 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, 6 years. Well, we were at year 7. We started lobbying Sharma Lewis 2 years ago, and she has a heart for this church. And she has told me that this man, Dr. Benson, is going to be a new chapter in this church, a very positive chapter in this church, and people in the conference are excited about him coming to our church. So through all of this process, I just want to say another quote from John Wesley. Through all of what we're going to go through, for all that we've gone through, for all the positives, for all the lows, the best of it is God is with us. And God's going to be with Conyers First, and we're going to tighten up our United Methodist Church buckles and belts, and we're going to say goodbye to an incredible minister and say and welcome a new one. Thank you.
Today's a day of incredible emotion for me, and I simply want to say thank you for loving me so well across these 7 years, and thank you for allowing me to love you. I thank God that in these 7 years we've been together, we've restored a sense of unity in the body of Christ that in so many ways the Bible teaches us is the strength of every church. When we are united with one passionate purpose, to win others to faith in Jesus Christ. And we've done that. Hundreds of new members we've received over the last 7 years, with an incredible percentage of professions of faith. Maybe some of you are here today because you heard the call of Jesus Christ and you said, I want to follow him. I want to give my life to him. And that's happened over the last 7 years. And because of the mission DNA of this church, because of the unity that we have felt together and the call of the risen Lord, thousands of people have been helped. Because we believe that faith without works is dead. And you have put your hearts and your hands and your feet to loving people right where they are and blessing them in ways that I just simply stand amazed at the ways you have done that. Over these 7 years, you've made incredible investments in ministry. as a way of saying, thank you, God, for blessing my life, and thank you, God, for the mission and ministry of the church. God, I want to align myself with biblical principles, and I want to give to say thank you. Because I want others to experience what I've experienced. And in these 7 years, you've helped expand this campus. The first time I drove to Conyers, first, this building wasn't here. It was just being framed. Together, we've invested $6.5 million in building and renovations so that ministry can take place here. You've been willing to share your hearts financially in ways that's just remarkable in these incredibly challenging economic times, increasing our capacity to do ministry by more than 53% over these 7 years. Life changed. And ministry enhanced. And I am so grateful that you've allowed me to be a part of it. And that you've helped to train me for a bigger challenge ahead. And as we pray together for this transition, I'd like to ask for your prayers, because I'm facing the biggest challenge that I've ever experienced in ministry. And I'm excited, but I'm scared. And it would mean a lot to me if I knew I had your prayers. I'm grateful to be appointed to the Hillside Church at Town Lake in Woodstock. It's a young church. It's only about 30 years old. Its demographic is incredibly young. Over the last few years, it's been growing at the rate of between 150 and 200 net new members a year, which shows this church's incredible evangelistic passion to reach people and engage them for Jesus Christ. Like you, I am awed by the hands-on mission outreach in Town Lake and Cherokee County and all around the world. So much like the DNA of this great church. Four services on Sunday morning, there has to be a preaching rotation. I think I get to do three of the four on Sunday morning, I think. And so just like here, I put on a robe, then I go into my bat cave and change clothes, and then I leave here and I go back in the bat cave and change clothes again. Kind of used to that. I think I'm going to be doing that again. I'm so grateful to the bishop and the cabinet for this opportunity. But I'm more grateful for you. And with St. Paul, I can truly say, I will always thank my God upon every remembrance of you. You have loved me so well. But I want to leave well. And I think the way we leave well is to give thanks. And to trust the God that brought us together already has a great vision for the future of this church. And this morning, and for the few Sundays that we have together, I want us to be praying for His discerning grace as we revision our music department staff. Gosh, I'm grateful for Reverend Steve Hester, our magnificent minister of music. What a great job he's doing. As we seek a new executive assistant for the senior minister, we're delaying that process. I think you'll understand now, waiting for Dr. Benson to come. You know, I had the privilege of getting to choose Renee Farah. Gosh, Renee is just awesome. The way she has loved me and served me and all of you and been the communication hub in the life of the church, I'm believing there's another person with great skills just waiting to be a part of this team. But this morning, I want us to pray especially for Dave Benson. I don't know Dave very well, but he has a great reputation. He's 56. He and his wife, Teresa, have two sort of grown children. I think they're both college age or sort of around that age. I believe they're out of the house. I first knew of Dave when he was on the staff at the Roswell United Methodist Church, serving alongside the excellent ministry of Dr. Malone Dodson. Dave is a trained musician. Gosh, you're going to love that. Right now, he plays with the band in his church, and then he preaches. I mean, he's that good. He's got creativity from the top of his spiked hair all the way to the bottom of his feet. I think you're going to enjoy the kind of creativity that he brings to the life of this great church. And though I haven't been able to speak with him yet, we can start talking to each other tomorrow after the announcements are made. I know he's honored to be coming here. I know he wants to come here. I know he's pleased to come here. The staff and I are absolutely committed, with your help, to roll out the red carpet for this good man and pray him up. The first time he sets his feet on this campus, he will know he has come home. He is in the right place. And I am counting on you now to open your heart to him as you opened your heart for me in June of 2007, when this wonky, bookish, nerdy preacher came riding into town, and you've loved me ever since. Would you join me this morning in beginning to roll out the carpet and beginning to pray up this good man of God as we begin to write the next great chapter in the life of this incredible church? I think that's the way we prepare for transition. We give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his steadfast love endures forever. We give thanks for the relationships that we share together, and we trust that he already has a plan for us. So would you join me as we pray together? Gracious God and Heavenly Father, you are the God of faithfulness and providence. You are the God who never fails. Your steadfast love endures forever. You are the God who specializes in rebuilding broken bridges and walls, repairing the breach in relationships, casting a vision from what is to what can be. God, we thank you for David and Renee, and trust that even now you are raising up new leadership for our music department and a new executive assistant for the senior minister. God, we're trusting you with that. Give us discerning eyes and ears to listen for you. We thank you today for Dave Benson, for his gifts, for his creativity, for his commitment to Jesus Christ. And even now, Lord, we open our hearts to imagine how great the next chapter in this life is going to, this church is going to be. What new vision, what new opportunities, what incredible new experiences as we win people to Christ and serve them in the Master's name. God, I thank you for these, my friends, who have loved me so well and have allowed me to love them. God, I will carry these relationships in my heart forever, and with St. Paul will joyfully say, I will always thank my God when I remember you. God of providence, give us courage as we face the transitions of life together, knowing that you are already there, preparing the way. And we'll give thanks in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.